Tonight we want to get down in this growing up in the Lord. A couple of Wednesdays ago, I preached a message about our daily walk with our Lord, our daily walk with Jesus, and how it is that the Lord Jesus Christ is nearer than any person is to us if you're saved, because the Lord Jesus Christ lives within. We saw all kinds of different references about that, how the reference to the Father, the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ himself in us, he's near us. The Lord Jesus Christ, if you will, is sitting there watching the viewfinder of our lives. He hears every thought and every conversation, every way, everything that we think, do, and say, our conversation. He knows our motive. He knows everything about us, and he's there. We talked about and mentioned about our Lord Jesus and how it is in the Scripture that he tells us that he is our Master and our Lord. He is. He's our God. And he's our King. Yet he tells us also that he's, and we know this, he's our Savior and he's our friend. And do we fellowship with our Lord in all of those ways? All of those ways are right to fellowship with our Lord and to visit with our Lord and think about our Lord in. And is it so that we just look at our Lord as just our God and our King and our all-powerful, all-authoritative Master, and that's all? Our Lord Jesus tells us he's our friend. He's our elder brother. We just look at our Lord as just our friend and our brother and don't think about him and consider about him being our Master and our King. And see, you know, being human, we're subject to get in the ditches, aren't we? That's the way it is. We're subject to go to extremes. And not that these different aspects of our Lord, not that anyone is less than another, but he's all them to us. And our fellowship with our Lord, I think healthy fellowship with our Lord is going to be involved in all facets of that. And you take that and you chew on that, and you've got some thoughts about that, let me know. Our Lord Jesus is our Father. He's the everlasting Father. It's one of his names. And yet God the Father is our Father, and he's the great three in one. So our relationship, our walk with him is how we started that thought. And then we took a look in the next message about, is there anything that the Lord can't teach us? Is there anything, any subject, any aspect of life that our Lord can't help us in? There's not, is there? There's not one void, not one blank spot in the ability of our Lord to teach us, to help us, to instruct us. And then on the other part of that, is there anything that you and I cannot talk to our Lord about? Because understand, he's not like you and I are one to another. And we desire to have a good relationship because of our Lord and what he's given us together as the children of God and saints in his church here at Olmsted Baptist Church. But I tell you what, our Lord knows everything about us, every single thing. And we can go to him about everything and should. So our daily walk with our Lord. What's it look like? A practical consideration of what our daily walk with our Lord looks like. That's what we want to accomplish in this message and maybe another one after that. We've got some verses here that give us an understanding. Turn to Joshua chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. And just some thoughts here that we want to glean from this in regards to our walk with our Lord and asking the question, when should we walk? When should I walk with my Lord? When? In Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. This is given to Joshua, but is it not a principle that applies to all that God has said? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein in that book of the law day and night, that thou mayest observe to do, to obey it, according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Our Lord has spoken and given his word to us, and as we know this, well, I don't think there's anybody in the house that doesn't know that and believe that, but he's given it to us that we might hear him and we might know the truth about everything that we need to know about. And here the admonition to Brother Joshua, and I believe that we can extrapolate this and bring this to our lives too as the children of God. We need to know what God says, and that needs to be the basis of our conversation. It needs to be the basis of our lives. Not a thing that we feign, but a thing that is us, our Lord and his word in us. Not depart out of thy mouth, it says. Not go away. If what God has given us leaves out of our hearts, what are we left with? We're left with a ruinous way, aren't we? He said that the word should not depart from the mouth of God's people, and it should be in us night, day and night, night and day. And we're to observe to do it and to be obedient to him in it. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we have this that Moses preaches to the children of Israel. And, it's the word of God. The servant Moses is being used of the Lord. And what's he say about his word here? This is a familiar passage. Deuteronomy 6, verse number 6, we pick it up here. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, not only in our mouths, but in our heart, in us. God's good word needs to be a part of us. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. So we need to have a handle on it enough to be able to teach our children, to teach others. We do teach one another. We do. Sometimes we teach bad things. Sometimes we teach good things. And it needs to be of our life that we teach the good things of the Lord. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, for they shall be frontlets before thine eyes, between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them on the post of thy house and on thy gates. Now we know and understand what the Jews, the Pharisees, different ones, took, and they took this literally to where even this day they have little boxes with scriptures on every doorpost that they have. There are those Orthodox, some of those different sects of different Jews that have little boxes with the scripture that they have and wear on their garments. Is that what the Lord's talking about? Now, he's talking about having his word within us, that it's a part of us, that when we have trouble, we have problems, we have blessings, that what we're talking about and what we're pursuing is what our Lord says for us, how to deal with that. I don't bring myself and present myself as an example to you to follow me. We need to follow the Lord. But the Lord convicted me about these things, and here's an example of this. Sometimes in my work, like you face some things that you just don't like, some things that are maybe some things that are dishonest, and it affects you, it impacts you, some things that are misunderstood, some things that just aren't fair. At different times when I would face those things in my work, I would come home and tell Clarissa and my children about it, and then use that to go to what God says, not what I thought, not what my flesh thought, not what the knee-jerk reaction would be of the flesh, but ask the question out loud, now what is it that I should do? What is it that the Lord says that we should handle this? And that's just one example. There's a number of other things and different things that we that impact our lives that we run into in our lives. But that's a practical way of what the Lord has given here, that it's in us and that we take what God has said and live with it and live life with it. And teach our children in that. To teach those around us in that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So we have this about the Word of God being in us, being in our hearts, us being the genesis, the source from which we speak and pursue and do. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, short verse, verse number 17, the admonition of the apostle to those at Thessalonica and to us today, pray without ceasing. You know, you can pray on your knees, and you know you can pray and not be on your knees. You can pray in your closet, and not I'm talking about your literal closet, I'm talking about by yourself. And you know what? You can pray in a whole group of people. You can pray as you deal with things at home and come across things that just come up. You can go to the Lord with that. We can go to the Lord with our work. Remember, our Lord is not He's not lacking in any subject of life. We can thank Him for His blessings. And I think that we should be vocal about that and from our hearts do so. That's a witness to others. And not just vain words to say, but truthful about the Lord's blessings and acknowledging such. Right there in the midst of our homes, right there in the midst of our work. So the Lord, Word's God, our daily walk, and when we should walk with the Lord, His Word in us, never departing. We meditate upon it, think about it, consider it night and day. We teach it to others, and it's part of our conversation, and we're called to pray without ceasing. So when should we walk with our Lord? Always. Always. There can be a temptation, and again, these messages come, they're for all of us, but we seek to those that are newly saved need to know about these things, because you just don't learn till you learn, do you? That's part of our responsibility of those of us that have been saved longer, is to be a good example and teach the younger in the way that the Lord gives us. Our walk with the Lord, how is it with you and me? In life, we want to master a subject quickly and put it to work. I mean, that's the way it was in my work. You run into something, you run into new equipment, new programming, different kind of machinery, you need to learn it quick so you can take and apply it. And it's just, that's the way it is for somebody wanting to be diligent and good in their work. You know what? Don't take that and apply it to the Bible. There's a lot of things that we can learn quickly, but I think we can have in our hearts and minds that we're going to master this quickly. We will never master it in a lifetime. So just know that. Now, don't be disappointed and discouraged by that, but understand that our walk with our Lord is steady, constant, day after day, moment by moment, hour by hour, week by day by day, week by week. And so may we understand that steady. I ask the question, are you walking with the Lord in these ways? We're going to take a look at more of this in more detail as we go along here. Two other verses I want to review, and this is in review, in Hebrews chapter 13, a wonderful verse. Let your conversation, what we think, do, and say, be without covetousness, wanting some other way than what the Lord's given us. Okay, so understand that. Don't just think as covetousness as wanting something. Covetousness can be wanting something, but I tell you what, I think the greater part that we have and problem that we have with covetousness is we want another way than the way that our Lord's given us. I tell you what, is the Word of God boring? Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself that the Lord would make it alive to you. Because for the child of God, the Word of God, see, I think the problem is the reason that it's boring is we maybe go at it at drips and drabs and little thrust in a couple days and then set it aside for weeks and then come back. Because see, this good book wars against the flesh. And the flesh hates this good book. But I tell you what, if we get in here and learn things from our Lord and how it applies to our lives, I tell you what, and pray that the Lord will work in us and help us, it will come alive because it is a living book. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness, wanting something else that we don't have, has not been given to us, and be content with such things as you have. I'm not taking this and applying this to your car, your house, and your toys, and the necessities of life, and your stove, and your microwave. We're not talking about that tonight. Be content with our Lord. Be content with the way that he's given us. Be content with the church that he's given us. Be content with the calling that he's given us. Okay? You hear? Be content with and get in the middle of it. Be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I mean, he's in us and he won't. And in that two messages ago, the Lord Jesus being within us and living within us, and how it would be with you and I if we would come see one another every service and would come near one another but wouldn't greet one another, wouldn't shake hands, would just pass by. Would maybe one of us would start to talk to the other and the other wouldn't listen? There'd be a breakdown in our relationship, wouldn't there? Well, our Lord Jesus, if you will, is right here. He's right inside of us. And how many times does he speak and we don't listen to him? How many times is he at hand and we don't go to him as we ought and talk to our Lord and confide in our Lord and thank our Lord? You hear? Our relationship would break down if we did that one to another. But our Lord Jesus is at hand in us always. And we can certainly be found treating him that way, can't we? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Did you talk to the Lord about school? Those of you that are going to school, do you talk to the Lord about school? You know, the Lord's interested in hearing about your school. You thanking him for how he's helped you to do well in it, and you asking him to help you in the places you've got rough spots and problems. The Lord is interested in hearing about school. Talk to the Lord about work. Talk to the Lord about home. Talk to the Lord about marriage. Talk to the Lord about children. Again, what is there that we can't? But I tell you what, all that's going on, and we don't talk to the Lord about it a bit. What's up? He's given it all to us. We should at least be thanking him. And I'm talking about not just thanking him in public prayer. I'm talking about thanking him when it's just you and him. What do our lives look like when it's just us and the Lord there? What do our lives look like? What do they look like? What's going on there? I'm not being accusatory. I just want us to evaluate. And consider, because that is the relationship that we have. You can't just have a relationship with the Lord Jesus on Sunday and Wednesday night if you're saved. He's there all the time. And then in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 1, verse number 27. He says here, our Lord tells us through the Apostle Paul, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Is the Lord Jesus at the forefront of everything? I mean, Brother Jim, the Lord Jesus should be at the forefront of me cooking, cleaning, doing the laundry, changing the oil. He's given us all things to enjoy, hadn't he? Amen. And sometimes, there's been a lot of times I've been working on something with work or working on a vehicle. And, Lord, I need some help here. I don't get it. Is that, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you blessed that this oil change is going very well. Does that sound foolish? It should not. It should not, because the Lord's interested in every whit of our lives. And to acknowledge him is to honor him and to glorify and praise him. But we can get bent to where we think, well, Lord's not interested. Lord's only interested in level 5 and up. He's only interested in this important kind of stuff and up. He's interested in every whit of our life. Only let your conversation be as becometh, as representative of the gospel of Christ, that whether I come or see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. That's what the apostle's writing to the folks at Philippi. Hear of your life. Your way you speak, your witness, your testimony of the Lord, that ye stand fast in one spirit, that is the spirit of our Lord, united in him with one mind, conviction, striving together for the faith of the gospel, a theme through the book of Philippians, that of the faith of the gospel. We've got busy schedules in daily life, don't we? It's busy. I mean, it is busy. And when you live out from town, it's even busier because you know what? You spend a lot of time in a vehicle. That's the way it is. I mean, when I worked in one place in St. Louis, I drove at least 30 minutes, 45 minutes to work one way. It's just that way, especially you live around a metropolitan area. Or many people, you spend a lot of time on the road. If you live right in town, maybe you're quick to work and quick back home. But life is busy. That's just one little facet of it. When do we pray? In Daniel chapter 6, look what Brother Daniel did. Look what Brother Daniel did. In Daniel chapter 6, when do we pray? We saw that verse in 1 Thessalonians, to pray without ceasing. Here. The commitment to pray unto our Lord. Listen to this in Daniel chapter 6, verse number 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, this that's in opposition to he and all those, the leaders there had gone to Darius and made this thing that was going to be contrary to Daniel and the Jews and such. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And with his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel was committed to praying to his Lord. Now, he made a time to pray. Yet, what do we see in the New Testament? Pray without ceasing. Is it bad to have a set time to pray? No, not at all. You know what? At the very least, you and I have about 5 times to pray, 4 or 5, when we get up in the morning. Thank you, Lord, for another day. When we eat, 2 or 3 times a day. Do you thank the Lord for your food? Or do we just eat like pigs and go on without any consideration? I know that's harsh, but I tell you what. Think what the Lord Jesus thinks about his children that don't thank him for their daily bread. I'm not looking to hurt you. I'm not looking to shame you. But think about that. Are we just like the cows and the hogs that go out there and eat with no consideration? You watch others in public and you see them just get the food, sit down and start woofing it down. I'm not slamming them or running them down. But look what a picture that is. They just sit down and eat with no consideration about who's provided it. You and I, we know better. We know better. And then at the end of the day, I tell you what, there's no better thing. I'm not saying I recommend this, but there's no better thing, I believe, than to go to sleep praying to your Lord. Now, you need to pray sometimes and not fall asleep. But you know what? Thanking the Lord, going to the Lord as the lights go out for the day. I tell you what, that's a wonderful thing. Yet we have so much more to pray about in our need and our thanksgiving to the Lord, our petition, our intercession, don't we? Brother Daniel, he made a time that he prayed three times a day. But I tell you what, not that we're going to do better than that and one up our brother, but don't we have, think about prayer as just being the dialogue. You and I have those that we visit with and work with and commune with. You know, we get together, we have fellowship dinners, we maybe help one another on a project and we talk one, you know, we talk one with another. We can talk with our Lord just that same way all through the day. Schedules are busy, but I tell you what, we need to be talking with our Lord. We need to be going to Him. In Acts chapter 17, this is a verse that's often used about the Word of God, and it's true. And it's true. Let's understand something here. In verse number 10 of Acts chapter 17, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea because of trouble at hand in the city previous, who coming thither went to the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, these Jews in the synagogue. They received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They were that way before the Lord saved them. How do you reckon they were after the Lord saved them? Amen? Searching the scriptures. Do you not have enough of the scripture within us to go to the Lord and pray to the Lord and say, Lord, what's that talking about? Or do we have for the years that we've been saved, if we go through the books of the Bible, can you go through the books of the Bible? Do we even know what the books of the Bible are? Can we do a survey in our hearts about each of those books? And of all 66 of them, when we get down to it, maybe, how is it with you? Do you know what the content of half the books are? Or do we have the Word of God in us to know more? Do we have the desire and the zeal within us and the pursuit within us that when we see that, I don't know anything about that book. And you know what? We take that not as a negative, but as a positive to say, I need to go find out for myself what that book says. To joy, that to know that that's the Lord's word to you and me individually. He's speaking to us. And we go to it. These at Berea, they were interested. They were interested in what the scriptures of the Lord said. And you know what? When the Apostle Paul and Silas came on that first missionary journey, the second or third that they're in the midst of here, they knew what the Old Testament said, and they were able to hear the Jesus, the Messiah, that Paul and Silas preached. And you know what? They didn't just take their word for it. You know, we're admonished that we need to grow up in Ephesians and not be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. If something sounds good, do you grab a hold of it, or do you go to the Word of God to find out if it's so or not? Or do you go to your brothers and sisters and get their opinion about it? or pray to the Lord about it to give you an answer concerning such. That the Word of God is the anchor, is that solid rock of our Lord that upon which all that we believe and all that we follow is based upon, and we've got it within us to know, or we have it within us to go and search it out. These search the Scriptures daily, whether those things that Paul and Silas preached were so. Therefore, because of that, many of them believed. Also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Isn't it something how in our culture, in our day, it's been this way for a long time, that religion is relegated to women and children? There's nothing wrong with women and children, but men have a responsibility. I'm thankful for every member of our church, but it's not just relegated to women and children. Men need to know what you are. You a men having a household or not, you need to know what the Word of God says to operate your household by that. Not the way of the world, not what we've inherited from our fathers or our family, but what the Lord says. We need to be praying and getting into the Scriptures of our Lord. Do you have a daily time that you do so? You know, people are different. People are different. Some people need a schedule. They need a schedule. Nothing wrong with a schedule. A time to pray, a time to read, or a time to listen to the Scripture. Some people need a schedule. People are different. Because of life and the schedules, maybe your work or whatever, maybe it's just hard to have a schedule. But do you fit it in? Do you make it work when it works? Or do we go to something else rather than spending time speaking to our Lord and listening to our Lord and His Word? If we have a schedule and it's just by rote to get it accomplished, we all need to ask ourselves, no matter how we go about it, have we learned? Have we gained? We need to make certain that whether we have a schedule or we're pursuing this day by day, our Lord speaking to our Lord, hearing from our Lord, we need to make certain that we are conversing with Him and that we are listening to Him. That's what we need to get accomplished. Find out what works for you, but make sure you are. See, there are some that say, you need to get up and that's when you need to do that. And I'm not slamming that, but sometimes that doesn't work for everybody. And the thing is, those that it doesn't work for, I'm not looking to make you feel like a heel if you don't do it that way. Okay, understand? The point is are you gaining ground? That's really the evaluation. Because you and I both know, we can sit down and read, and then if we had a 10-question survey about what we read in the last 15 minutes, we would know we need to read with comprehension. I would rather somebody read the same 3 verses for a week and know what they say and talk to the Lord about it and gain ground than to read 7 chapters or 70 chapters and not know a lick about what's been read. You hear? We need to be gaining ground with the truth of our Lord, with our conversation with Him. Are you making progress? So again, if you have a schedule and that works for you, great. Are you gaining ground? Maybe you don't have a schedule, but are you doing so? Talking with the Lord and hearing from Him? Are you gaining ground? Either way, are you gaining ground? Are you gaining ground? That's what we need to make sure that we are doing, is gaining ground in the Word of our Lord and our fellowship with Him. Next time, we're going to stop for right now. We're going to spend a little bit of time considering about reading and meditation and studying. There's a difference between them, isn't there? Reading, meditation. I tell you what, at least, well, for me, the thing about meditation was unknown till recent times. Tell you what, just to read a passage and have that and chew that around in our hearts. Go into the Lord with it. Lord, can show me more about that. Show me how that's connected. Putting ourselves there in that setting, if it's an account of one of the characters of the Scripture, to slow down and develop questions about it. Maybe questions that maybe we can get answered. Maybe there would be questions that we won't get answered until we go on to be with the Lord. But having questions, reading, meditating, and then studying. Oh, I'm not a teacher. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. I really don't need to study. You do need to study. All of us need to study. All of us to be obedient and follow and walk with our Lord. What kind of life is it our Lord Jesus has promised us? Abundant life. And that abundant life is found in Him. And that abundant life is found in Him by knowing what He said in His good book that He's given us. And fellowship and communion every moment with Him. So we'll take a look about that, Lord willing, next time. If you're here and you're not saved, this really hasn't been a message to you. We point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our Savior. He's rescued us. And you know what? He is able to rescue you.